I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Christmas season, both in the church calendar and in our everyday lives, stands out for so many of us as a separate, magical time, unchanging and insulated from external happenings. Year after year, we wait in anticipation during Advent for the familiar gospel accounts of Jesus' birth, the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Mary, the decree by Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and the subsequent journey of Joseph and Mary, who was great with child, the birth of Jesus in a stable because there was no room at the inn. We are told of how a host of angels appear to the shepherds, bearing glad tidings, and that the shepherds make their way to the manger to see for themselves of the journey of the wise men who follow the bright star, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These events give the impression of standing alone from the rest of the Gospels, seemingly independent from the overall accounts of the New Testament. A gospel of their own, almost. In fact, they're an amalgamation of the three accounts of Matthew, Luke and John. So it feels like rather an abrupt jump in time to read the verses immediately after today's gospel, which describe the presentation of Christ at the temple. This is because even though this took place only 8 days after the birth accounts, we don't usually hear these verses in church until Candlemas on the 2nd of February, which marks the liturgical end to the Christmas season. Candlemas signifies the juxtaposition between the joy of Christmas and the foreshadowing of Easter. If we continue on with Luke's narrative, rather than the set readings for Christmas, what follows the unadulterated joy of the birth account introduces a dissonant note into the Christmas joy. Simeon, who has waited all his life to see the Messiah, predicts that Jesus will bring deliverance to the world, but will also be rejected. And Mary is told she will be pierced to the heart. As we celebrate Jesus' birth this year, even though our rational selves tell us it's not so, it's perhaps hard not to feel that Christmas has somehow been put into jeopardy, eclipsed by the scepter of COVID. It may feel as though the virus, especially given recent developments, has stolen a march on the celebrations, disrupting a sacred time, ring-fenced for joy. The Christmas gospel narratives, though, are inseparable from the Easter journey. The baby in the manger is to become the man on the cross. The emphasis on certain parts of scripture at particular times, theologically justified, to highlight the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, can nevertheless give an artificial impression of compartmentalization. It's either all joy or all desolation. Yet the Gospels witness to the spectrum of human experience, suffering, despair, faith, hope, joy, epiphany. This year, more than ever, that truth is brought home to us. There is no such thing as Christmas joy in a vacuum. Happiness and sorrow, triumph and tragedy are always present in the world we inhabit. The gospel birth narratives are almost immediately followed by Matthew's account of King Herod's massacre of the infants. Holy Innocents Day is celebrated tomorrow. Wars, famines and personal grief continue unabated throughout Christmas, and peace, reconciliation, and reasons for celebration may unseasonably break out during Lent and Holy Week. The Gospels witness to the journey of Jesus' followers in seeking to recognise what these good tidings of great joy would mean, what sort of Messiah and triumphant King this would turn out to be. Nothing happened as expected. The time between Bethlehem and Golgotha was anything but straightforward. Luke tells us that Mary's response to the angelic tidings was that she treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. there was much to ponder. Jesus often behaved in unpredictable, surprising, and sometimes unwelcome ways. The confusion and disappointment of the disciples seems to resonate with our own as we contemplate the world around us. The news of promise and fulfillment led and has led to a very different kind of kingdom from the one anticipated. Like Mary in our reading, like those who gave up everything to follow Jesus, it may feel impossible yet to see how the angel's promise of good news of great joy that shall be to all people will be fulfilled. Throughout Advent, while we wait to celebrate, or waited to celebrate the birth of Christ, churches recalled the ancient hymn, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, the face of God, revealed most fully in Jesus, the message of Christmas, God with us. In the mystery of the Incarnation, we can know that this is not a God remote or untouchable, but the God who wept for his friend Lazarus, God with us, for us, who became fully us, whether we recognise him or not. Luke relates that Mary pondered the meaning of the angel's message. All those touched by Jesus pondered until at last, at Easter, a transformative experience shifted everything. We don't know when our own epiphany will come, and though we cannot hold unto such glimpses into the meaning of God's kingdom forever, neither can such knowledge ever be taken away from us. Mary treasured the angel's message in her heart. Regardless of what else follows, epiphanies speak the language of a truth that is eternal. Perhaps that moment of recognition and transformation has come this Christmas for you. Perhaps it may be at Easter or many years ahead. And even if we don't have such a sense, God is with us in darkness as well as light. Can we, with the reality of suffering sharpened for us this year, keep on pondering and treasuring the good news of a God of infinite love, a God who made his home among us, full of grace and truth? Can we rejoice that this is a God for whom nothing is impossible, a God with us today and always, born once in our world and eternally into creation? Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.